What do we have to do to live meaningful lives? We're going to have to grapple with that question.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It is hard not to sense that something vast and unsettling is emerging from beneath modern life. Even here in Silicon Valley, where we have become accustomed to continuous change, this time, it somehow seems different.
That's Bill Davidow, long-term venture capitalist, reading from his new book, The Autonomous Revolution. The change he's talking about is the coming revolution in AI and automation, and I do not use the word revolution lightly. There have only been 2 technological revolutions in all of human history. The agricultural revolution, where we learned to plant and domesticate animals, and the industrial revolution, the introduction of machines to do work. Think about that. 2 technological revolutions in all of human history, and if you're listening to this podcast right now, the 3rd revolution will take place during your lifetime. In fact, it's already started, and it's going to shatter everything you know about being alive.
This is now a 3rd change in form.
To illustrate that, when you had the agricultural revolution, you had the creation of things like money,
yes.
The creation of the written language. When you had the industrial revolution, you had the creation of the work week and the wage. These weren't things that were there before. So when we talk about an autonomous revolution, we expect there will be things invented, effects on society that we don't even have the faintest idea.
Yeah. One of the examples we use in the book about the autonomous revolution is we say civilization is undergoing phase change. And we draw the analogy between water and ice. And when water goes through phase change, it goes through a critical temperature and it changes form. It goes from being a liquid to a solid. It obeys different rules, fluid flow for water. We use different tools, pumps and pipes for water, and our intuition about water tells us nothing about ice. In the same way, phase change is affecting our social institutions, and they're changing form, obeying different rules, using different tools, and our intuition just fails.
There almost aren't words or concepts to describe what happens during a revolution. If we've only had 2 of them, the agricultural revolution and the industrial revolution, and neither you nor I were alive when they happened. We've never seen a revolution in our lifetimes.
What we're going to do is see a whole new set of experiences, and this is very unsettling. It's creating a lot of insecurity because we're all aware of things going on, and then people are worried about where's my next job coming from? What are my kids going to do? There are all these unsettling things going on. Our value systems are changing. the physical infrastructure of society is going to change. Remember, agricultural revolution, we wandered around before it. Then after that, we had settlements, villages, and then cities, and then city-states. The Industrial Revolution, we created the industrial city. At the start of the Industrial Revolution, 94% of us lived in the country. Today, 80% of us live in urban environments, and we created the suburbs. It's reasonable to expect that our physical infrastructure is going to change as well.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well,
I think most people, when they talk about autonomous revolution and robots and whatnot, are primarily worried about their jobs. I mean, certainly we've seen robots replace people in car factories and things, but the prediction is lots of people will lose their jobs. Is that the biggest thing we need to worry about?
I think lots of people are going to lose their jobs. And I think it's something we have to worry about because we've defined our personal identities and our self-esteem in terms of having a job. But, you know, one of the things that one can scratch their head about is that a lot of us do socially useful work and we aren't paid. The example I use is if I'm a mother and I sit at home and I raise a child, or if I'm a father and I sit at home and I raise a child, I'm not paid for that. But if I go to a daycare center, somebody is paid for doing that. So one could argue that if the government gives me a subsidy, if I work and I have somebody else take care of my child, why shouldn't the government pay me to raise my own children?
Americans, this idea of perhaps a universal basic income, particularly in a world in which there are robots and autonomous devices, Americans just seem to hate that idea. It doesn't matter if you're conservative or not. Conservatives really hate it. There's something in American blood that says you can't get something for nothing.
You're absolutely right. And, I think the autonomous revolution calls into question something that we call the Protestant work ethic. And I think that these are the challenges that we face because these are part of the new rules of society. So we have to answer that question. And is the only way that I can have personal self-esteem is having a paid job.
And the American work ethic was invented at a time during the Industrial Revolution in which work meant something in a way that perhaps it won't at a time when many of us either don't need to or can't do what robots or AI do.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too philosophical.
Oh, here. Go for it.
But there are questions about what do we have to do to live meaningful lives? And we're going to have to grapple with that question.
Remember, when we talk about people losing jobs, we're not just talking about machinists replaced by machines, assembly line workers, that kind of thing. We're talking about lawyers and doctors replaced by AI, pilots, engineers. Their skills would no longer be needed. They would be people of zero economic value. That sounds Well, it almost sounds a little offensive, but you're not talking about somebody with zero value. They could be PhDs. They could be intelligent, giving, caring human beings who, in a different, advanced, autonomous world, don't have economic value.
We referred to the zero economic value man. And by that, we meant that the person could have all kinds of skills, but the economy wasn't prepared to pay him money for that or her money for that. It's like the mother who raises a child. I don't see us sending checks to that mother, father who's raising that child. So that person is a zero economic value person, but raising children is really important.
No doubt. But there is alarm bells go off in my head if this idea of zero economic value, ZEV, ZEVs, let's call them, it almost sounds like H.G. Wells. That, again, these are not people who can't contribute. They can contribute, but in our new autonomous world, can't add to the GDP because machines would just do that. And we could be talking about lawyers or doctors at this point, radiologists, who would become ZEVs.
That's right.
What do we do in a society in which some of people can't contribute?
Well, the question is, how do you define contribution? And we've always defined contribution
economically.
Economically. And so these are the kinds of things that happen in phase change. Are dollars the only metric for contribution?
And I think we'd agree they're not. You use the example of a mother or a father staying at home raising children or coaching a little league, in which theoretically the government would then pay them to do that, which, as we were speaking earlier, particularly conservatives, but I think a lot of Americans would say, oh, hold on, that sounds almost a bit socialist, which is funny coming from a famous venture capitalist.
Well, all right, but here I am. I'm almost 85, and suppose that my kids spend a lot of time taking care of me as opposed to putting me in some institutionalized home. Are they zero economic value people because they did that?
Dollars-wise?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. Value-wise, of course not.
We're going to end up having to have a new value system that will come with it. And these are the kinds of issues that we've got to debate. You know, one of the analogies that I use, which is water and ice, and ice breaks pipes and it also sinks ships. Remember the Titanic, right? And if you don't deal with phase change properly, there are going to be problems. And our tendency to deal with phase change is to say, this is the way it was during the Industrial Revolution. We are going to apply that same solution to a different form.
Isn't that fascinating that our country is created during the Industrial Revolution? And I hadn't thought of it this way, but a lot of the values that we bring as they are writing the Constitution, as they are forming a government, this grand experiment, is based on ideas from the Industrial Revolution that possibly wouldn't carry over well into the next autonomous revolution.
Yeah, I think that possibly the ideas in the Constitution, a lot of them came from the agricultural revolution.
Fair enough. Mostly farmers, right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the Industrial Revolution started around 1750 or 1740, and the ideas of the Constitution were late 1700s. So the Constitution reflects, I would say, early industrial age thinking, but a lot of it reflects agricultural age thinking too. And so a lot of the ideas are not going to apply nearly as well in an autonomous era.
That'll be a painful transition. And I'm sure it was a painful transition into the agricultural revolution and out of it into the industrial revolution. And now we'll have one more paroxysm of pain.
Well, all right, but look at it this way. The Industrial Revolution started, I'm going to say, roughly 300 years ago, and we've been adjusting to it over a 300-year period. The autonomous revolution probably started around 2000. It's happened much faster, whether it's 10 times faster or not.
Can't predict,
but,
yeah.
But the shock of this adjustment, it's a big step. Oh, gosh, my memory is failing me. The fellow who created the term cultural lag, where one step of society gets out of step with another. We are going to experience cultural lag big time because the changes are going on so fast.
One of the things that I think is exacerbating that, the haves and the haves not, is as we have automation, as we have reasonably free world trade, stuff is getting less expensive. But rent and healthcare is not. And that is killing the American middle class.
All right. So we talk about living in a bipolar society. And if you think of it this way, the value of work is being determined, I'm going to say, by robots. So value of work is experiencing deflation. The worker is working in a deflationary society. The necessities of life are being driven by demographics. We're running out of land. So the price of homes is increasing at twice the rate of inflation. Health insurance has increased by 54% in the last 5 years. The cost of education is going up. The cost of food is increasing faster than the price of inflation. So the typical worker is working in a deflationary society and living in an inflationary one. And that creates a big problem. In the past, those things were more tightly correlated. When prices went up, wages went up. Today, that correlation is broken.
Bill Davidow, legendary venture capitalist and prolific author. With all that doom and gloom, I'll let Bill have the last word from his book, The Autonomous Revolution.
Despite these warnings and our analysis of the growing dysfunctionality of modern life in the pages that follow, we hope that the reader will come away from this book with a sense of optimism. We should never forget that human beings are extraordinary creatures, brave, endlessly creative, adaptive, and born survivors. Over the course of the last million years, we have gotten through much worse.
Sandhill Road is produced by Sean Myers, executive produced by Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.